Today's message is going to be about marriage and family. And the title of this message is called Heaven on Earth. Now, I guess probably when I was in my early 20s, I got connected to Covenant Church. All right? So I've been a covenant guy for a lot of years. And in during these series of messages, I'm going to be teaching and preaching some things that we learned. That we learned from Brother Charles Simpson, who was a founding pastor. And some of this is going to come out of what is called his Kingdom and Covenant series. And I'm very excited about these messages. These messages are going to be a little bit different, okay? Because usually most of the messages that I preach are what we call expository. In other words, don't get that confused, okay? Some of y'all just got it. All right. These are going to be more topical, and the brothers that went through preaching for health know what that means. In other words, we're going to be looking at a number of scriptures rather than taking a text and really going through and identifying some points and all that. So going to be a little bit different in your bulletin. All right. And hey, Robert, if you're here, everybody really needs a bulletin. In here are some notes. And, you know, we're going to go through and fill these things out. All right. So this is important. And I want to say to our young people that are here today, this is important for y'all. And I know many times you say marriage, you know, well, we're going to talk about the pressures and some of the things about how our society and Satan really are trying to rewrite and to redesign what marriage and family is. So it's important. I want to encourage you to follow along. And you know, how do you recognize what God has for you in a young lady or a young woman if you don't know what God's plan is? And so today is a very foundational message that I want to share with you. Heaven on earth. Now, let me ask you something, okay? Because I know we're still a little tired, and you get a little introduction, you get pepped up, and then you kind of, How many of y'all feel like that are married here today that heaven drove up with you in the car today? Oh, man, some of y'all are in trouble, guys. Yeah, we are slow today. Heaven on earth. I mean, let me start all over again. This is a message about marriage, and it's called Heaven on Earth. Now, how many of y'all drove up today with heaven in the car? All right, thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Man, we are awake. But if you look at what's happening in the church, a lot of Christians and a lot of people that go to church would say they're not living heaven on earth. They're actually living the other, aren't they? Come on now. Isn't that right? Heaven on earth. I want to give you a picture of something. God created the world, and Dave read scriptures from 1 John. And created the universe, created the earth, created a beautiful garden. It probably didn't look like this with pianos and all those drums and all that kind of stuff in here, right? And it was a perfect place. It was without sin. And he put in the middle of that Adam and Eve. With whether we want to realize it or, I mean, really, that is a model of what? Husband and wife relationship. And he gave them some specific things that he desired for them to do. Now, listen, you know, if you go to Colorado or you go to Hawaii or you go whatever place it is that you look at God's creation, I want you to understand something. In the middle of that, the greatest thing that he created was Adam and Eve. And where did that come from? Why did God do that? What God was actually doing was he was extending heaven on earth. Something in God's nature, something in his character, and the way that God exists, that he would extend his covenant and his kingdom by putting a man and woman on the earth in the middle of the garden. God extends heaven on earth by doing that. Look at your outline if you would. This is very foundational, and you say, Pastor Dennis, we know this, but listen to this. God is the author and architect of all creation. God is the author and architect of all creation. Now you say, we know that. Why is that important when you're talking about marriage? Because you know today and for years, God's word and God's plan for marriage and the family is trying to be rewritten and redesigned. Satan's been doing it since he's been loose. Our carnal nature will cause us to give in to something that's not according to God's word and according to God's plan in our marriages. Isn't that right? And how about just the deception that's in the culture today that's trying to rewrite? I mean, this week I heard about something regarding family that in California, and they're going to go back and listen to this case. But a judge made a decision, and I may not have all the details right, but he said that you that are parents that are teaching their kids at home in homeschool cannot do that because they're not certified teachers. You see what I'm saying? We're rewriting and try to redesign what God intended. I mean, what will come next? I'm glad they're going to go back and rehear the whole case again. But listen, we've got to understand and get back to the foundation of God's word. God is the author. He is the architect of all creation. And in the middle of that creation, he placed a man and a woman, Adam and Eve. What do our young people believe that marriage is today? Who's going to define that for them if we don't? If we don't live in healthy marriages. Now, look, we're going to talk about single families during this series of messages, all right? So I don't want anybody to feel isolated. But when the church is experiencing such a high divorce rate, that even in Christian homes and in homes that are where people attend church on some kind of a regular basis, then what young people are seeing is not necessarily God's plan. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like a tsunami, and it's been going on for a long time, and it's not getting any better. And when the church has something like 50% divorce rate, and I'm not, listen, I know there may be a number of you that have been through a divorce. I saw a divorce in my own family. But what I want to say is according to God's word and according to his plan, divorce doesn't have to happen. Now, come on now. You understand what I'm saying? And I know this is not anything new, but it's like a wave that's hit us. And so it's important for us to remember that God is the author and he's the architect of all creation. And he chooses to put Adam and Eve in the garden. The second thing under God extends heaven on earth is that God designed the family to be an earthly expression of his heavenly kingdom. God designed the family to be an earthly expression of his heavenly kingdom. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. And here how it starts in God's family and God's kingdom. Beginning in verse 15, he's talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, do you see what God's doing? I mean, God is taking the kingdom of God, the heavenly kingdom, and he's extending it to earth. How is he doing that? He did it through his son, Jesus Christ. It came through his son. Dave read from John chapter 1, which was so clear. The Word was with God. The Word was there in the beginning. He created all of creation by speaking what? The Word. He's the author. And he's the architect. And God had, I don't know how long God had it in his mind, because you have to go back to the beginning of, before the beginning of time. And God's family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed. And God said, I want to extend that kingdom on earth. See, God is, he's the King, he's the Lord. And I know sometimes we get focused in and we think about marriage particularly. And we think, okay, well, we're going to do a series on marriage. And, you know, we started a small group for love and respect. And we spent a weekend together. But there's something foundational that we need to be reminded of as we start this series. And that is that family and the order that God has is an extension so that his kingdom can be extended in all the earth. That was his plan. Secondly, God gives a mandate to the family. Now, what's a mandate? A mandate is not when two guys that are friends go to a baseball game, okay? Dave Grass told me that. If y'all know Dave, he and I and Tommy went to the same corny humor school, I think. God gives a mandate to the family. So today, when you pulled up with heaven, that's right, when you pulled up with heaven on earth, and it goes both ways, it's male and female, okay? Ladies were quick to pick that up, weren't they? Did you notice that? Do you understand? It's not just a feel-good relationship and that God wants to bless me and all those kind of things. It's more than that. Yes, he wants to do that. But do you understand? It's a mandate because God gave the mandate to family to be a part of extending his kingdom in the earth. What I'm saying to us is there's a higher purpose. When you look at your relationship with your spouse and you're struggling and you're going through things, listen, one of the things is we've got to realize and get back to remembering that there's a higher purpose for it. Yeah. It's not just about us and how we feel and what conflicts we're going. All those things, and the church is focusing on those. I mean, we're doing that too. But listen, there's something higher that we're called to, and that's an extension of the kingdom of God. And God gave that mandate through the family. That's why Satan has worked so hard to break the family down, because it keeps the kingdom of God. It delays it from being extended. And the church has got to wake up to that. Now you say, that's easy to say if you got a good marriage. Isn't that right? But I love Kata. Look, I know that she loves me and that she's been committed to me for almost 28 years. That's not because I'm such a wonderful guy.
No comment.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we say, well, if I could just get my wife or my husband to be this, then I know I could be committed. There's something else that resides in our heart. That is that God put us together for better or worse, and sometimes it's been worse. And there's a higher purpose that we're called to. And I have found, since I have been married, that I know that God's purpose in my life is being fulfilled. And he is using this relationship of almost 28 years to help me to stay focused and to stay committed. It's just not that, you know, that we have this wonderful, you know, dreamland kind of marriage. We have things to go through. When we went through Love and Respect, you know, we had some rough weeks here to work through some things. But I also realize, God, you've called us to a higher purpose. And that is that through family, through my relationship with Kata and hers with me and all of our family, that the kingdom of God is extended. And through all of us. I mean, we talk about evangelism. And we're going to touch on that in just a minute. But do you realize, I mean, the greatest thing that we can offer to our culture, listen, is a healthy family. And I know there are a lot of things and there are a lot of single moms and all of that. But God's word speaks to that. But we've got to continue. I don't want to tell our young people, listen, you know, you've got to be a single parent. That's your destiny and that's your purpose. It's not. And that's what the world is trying to say. We're trying to rewrite. We're trying to redesign. But God gave a mandate. Listen, a mandate is an authoritative command. And I think earlier generations of parents and families understood that better than we do. Now, it's what the Bible says. A mandate is an authoritative command. But we live under the new covenant. Well, we're going to talk about that. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Verses 27 through 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Listen to this. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth. Listen to this. And subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, some of us kind of check out there because we don't like hunting and we don't like fishing and all those kind of things. That's not really so much what he's talking about. But you and I were created in God's image, both male and female. And here it is. God placed within the family unit both the order and the government to manage his creation. Now, I want to say something, and we're going to go through a progress on this, and I know this is foundational, but that's not stopped. Please hear me. I know when we use words like order and government and manage the creation, but look what he told them. He said, be fruitful and increase. How many of y'all want to be fruitful and increase? Sure you do. I mean, a lot of people have been fruitful and increase in this church. Look at Dave and Janice Grass. They've been fruitful and they've increased, haven't they? Many of y'all have. You understand? That's one of the ways, it is the primary way that God extends his kingdom through family. You see what the enemy is doing, and you see the deception that's in our society that's tearing that down. I mean, how's the best way to evangelize and extend the kingdom of God? Through a healthy, godly family. Whether you are married today or whether you are a single parent. Please hear me. I mean, we want to evangelize the world, and yet we have broken this at home. And that's why the senior leadership team, that we felt it was important for us to focus on marriage and family so that we would have healthy families. Not that there aren't going to be issues, not that there aren't going to be separations, and that some people, yes, they may go through a divorce, but that's not God's heart. It's not. Let's look at number two in your outline. God crowned his creative activity by preparing a man and a woman to have the capacity to have family. Do you understand that when you pulled up today with heaven on earth, that is the crown of creation? How many of y'all drive down I-10 around Memorial City? You seen the big, tall, high-rise building? Kata and I were talking with somebody, and we were over by the mall, and so we were asking them, You see the ones right by the freeway? It's like 20 stories. I don't know, maybe taller. And on the top of it is this kind of round thing. Well, it's for Memorial Hermann. And we ask, what's going to go on that crown thing on the top? And this person said, the corporate officers. They're suites. So Memorial Hermann has got this huge high-rise over Memorial City, and they put this crown on it. And they're putting their corporate officers, which they believe is the very, best. They give them credit, and I'm not against that. But do you understand that when God finished creation, what he crowned it with was a man and a woman and gave them the capacity to have family? You are the crown of God's creation. You have a higher purpose in your marriage and in your family that you are called to. And not an optional thing. It's a authoritative command. It's a mandate from God. Look at Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. In your marriage and in your family, you are called to a higher purpose. You see what God's doing? He's extending his kingdom from heaven onto earth, doing it through his son, passing it on to those who have been adopted into his family through their relationship with him. Look at number 3. It says Adam's family had the privilege and opportunity to fulfill the governing mandate that God had given. He said, man, that sounds like pretty high stuff, doesn't it? But look at Genesis 4, verses 1 through 2. This is what it says. It says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now listen to what it says. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. You see what's happening there? The kingdom of God is being extended through Adam and Eve. Through Cain and Abel. It says, what did they do as sons? They worked the creation that God had made. Even though Adam and Eve sinned and God displaced them out of the garden, you see that they were still being productive. God was producing something in them, even though that they had disobeyed him. Let's look at just something else. God developed Israel as a family before releasing them to become a nation. Go back and read it. Look at it. God developed them as a family before releasing them to become a nation. And God took 70 leaders, remember? He took 70 leaders who went into Egypt with their family. Do you know how many were produced while in Egypt? 600,000 men with their families. What am I saying to you in this? You understand, we look at our society many times, and we know that we live in a country that acknowledges God, but sometimes we find it difficult, and families being torn down. But even in the Old Testament, God was producing at a difficult time 70 leaders with their families trying to follow God's mandate and extending the kingdom of God. 600,000 men and their families were produced. Why is that important? It's important to us because we live in the new covenant. We have access to the Father that they didn't have. And yet it is in God's plan and in His word that He would continue to extend the kingdom of God through families, going through difficult things. Well, you say, Pastor Dennis, we live in the new covenant. You said it a while ago. And because we do that and I can confess my sin, then, okay, so I have a divorce, or so I break up my family. What's the issue with that? I mean, God's going to forgive me. And that's old covenant stuff that you're talking about anyway. Well, let's look at that. Look at Matthew 19, verses 1 through 6. When Jesus had finished saying these things, He left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed Him, and He healed them there. Some Pharisees came to Him to test Him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" And here was His reply. "Haven't you read that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate.'" You see what Jesus did? He didn't say, "Okay, well, you're under the new covenant, so divorce doesn't matter. If you break up your marriage, that's not an issue because you're living under, I'll forgive you." That's not what He said. He takes them back to the beginning. He takes them back to the original mandate. And He says to them, "Don't let any man separate you." That includes the husband and the wife in the marriage relationship. Y'all are loving this, I know. How many of y'all have ever been in a wedding where somebody ran up and said, "These two people should not be married"? I've been to a lot of weddings. I've never seen that happen. Who are the ones that cause a husband and wife to be separated usually? It's the husband and the wife, isn't it? I had a friend, and I remember he divorced his wife. The reason he gave was having an affair with another woman. And you know, he just simply said, "I'm going to do this, and God's going to forgive me." It's a dangerous way to live. It's in disobedience to what the Scripture says about the covenant that God gave to him. Is it important? Is your marriage and your family important to the extending of God's kingdom? Yes, it is. Look at number two, the last one on your outline. The family redeemed and yielded to Christ is God's model for families. The family that is redeemed and yielded to Christ. You see, throughout history, the family unit has been God's means of extending His kingdom. Extended salvation and faith, believing in God, trusting in God, has come through the family. And I say again something I said earlier. It is why that Satan has fought so hard to tear down the family and to break it down. Because it delays God's kingdom from being extended, certainly in those people's lives. Look at Ephesians 1, verses 9 through 10. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. That's talking about your marriage. That's talking about your family. That's not some pie in the sky, ethereal kind of thing. That's talking about our families. That's talking about Katanai's relationship in our family. Listen, all of you that have kids that are older, you know, just as like when they're young, they've got to make a decision to follow God. And all we can do is to teach them and model and to live in obedience to the command that God has given to us. And then there's a day when it becomes their decision. And I want to say to you, there aren't any guarantees. They have to make a choice for themselves. But my responsibility and Kata's responsibility is to model and to be obedient to what God has shown us is in the Scripture. And by doing that, we cause our society to be healthy. We cause our society to look and see that the power of God, in the middle of a high divorce rate and the brokenness that we see, that families can love one another and that God's kingdom can be extended through the family, through your heaven on earth that you drove up with today. And the tactic of the enemy hasn't changed. It hasn't. He's going to try to rewrite and redesign God's word and God's plan to us. And for those who will give in to that, they'll miss the opportunity, the privilege, to help extend the kingdom of God in the earth. Let's make that down. Let's bring it down to earth. In your home. With your kids. With your job. At school. Wherever you are. Because it's not only that we represent our families, but it's through those relationships that we represent the kingdom of God, that we help to extend. There's a contribution. Every one of you that can hear my voice, there is a contribution that God desires for you to make in extending the kingdom of God. Yes. That is a command. Yes. And God uses your heaven on earth, your relationship, your husband-wife, your child and parent relationships, to extend his kingdom. And just because Adam and Eve, who were in a beautiful garden, because they disobeyed God, that hasn't stopped. God is restoring. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth one day. Bible says we'll have new bodies. We're going to be changed. But on this side of all of that, the command that God gives to us to extend his kingdom through family is very much alive today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, Lord, that you have extended heaven on earth. That, Lord, through the relationship and, Lord, that you exist, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, that you have passed that on, that, Lord, all things have been created, and that your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, rules and reigns over all of that. Lord, over our marriages and over our family relationships, when we give our heart and life to him, God. Father, this morning, I pray, Lord, for every family that's here. I pray for single parents. I pray that you would strengthen them and provide. And Father, your word says that you are there for them. Lord, that you are the husband, Lord, to that lady that's a single parent. Father, you are a father to that child that doesn't have a father in their home. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church to be aware and to stand alongside. I thank you for this church, Lord, that's been caring and giving to help single parents. And Father, I pray for marriages. I thank you, Lord, for love and respect that we're doing that in a small group setting started this morning. And I pray over that, God. I pray, Lord, in this year, in 2008, that you would strengthen marriages. I pray, Lord, where there's conflict, Lord, where there's brokenness, God, that you would bring healing. God, I pray the power of your Spirit, Lord, would flow through our marriages in this church. I pray, Lord, that you would flow through the relationships that we have with our children, God. I pray that you would strengthen us, God, from habits, Lord, that cause conflict and are not pleasing to you, God. I pray that you would fill people by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, not for some kind of tingle, God, but that we might be empowered in a greater measure to live for you, God. Lord, that we could extend the kingdom of God that you have into the areas, God, where we are. Oh, I thank you, God, for every person and every young person and every child that's here. I pray your blessing and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.